Our reading for today is first our Old Testament reading, 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. Go ahead and find it if you can, if you want to, in your Bibles, and read along. It's a familiar story to many of us. I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about it. 1 Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Vision was not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here am I." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I've known this story since I can remember. I don't know about you. As a child, I learned about listening for the voice of God, and I learned about how God knows my name from the story of Samuel. And I hope all of God's children here today, no matter what age we are, young and old, consider to learn from this boy how we listen for God to speak in our lives. I imagine when I was a kid, I always imagined a boy my age, no matter how old I was, I thought he was my age, sleeping on a pallet on the floor and waking up at night. Morning had not come yet because it says the golden lampstands in the temple, which burned through the hours of darkness, had not yet gone out, so dawn had not come. Samuel is in Shiloh at the tabernacle. This was before the Jerusalem temple. The tabernacle, which housed the Ark of the Covenant, was located in Shiloh for over 300 years after being repeatedly moved during Israel's 40 years of wilderness wandering. And over 300 years, they built it partly of stone, and they put some of the fabric of the tabernacle over it and so forth. But that was the temple of that early age, of the time of Samuel. And so we'll think about that, where they are when we talk about the story. Have you ever heard God call your name? Samuel? John? Have you ever heard God call your name? Samuel. Hearing his name, Samuel runs obediently to old Eli, the priest. Does he need a drink of water? Does he need help getting out of bed? "Here I am, you called me." "I didn't call you, go back to bed." "Samuel." "Here I am, you called me." "I didn't call you, go back to bed." "Samuel." How often have we heard God call only to miss the important realization that it is God who is calling? Most of us, I have missed some of God's call. I'm sure I have. Has anybody here heard and answered every single call from God that you've gotten? I don't think so. We probably don't even know the ones we've missed. But there's ways to be more connected and to know more of them than we would if we aren't aware. So Eli realizes God is trying to talk to Samuel. So he instructs Samuel, "Keep listening and answer if God calls again." This is an important task of the church, to instruct people in listening to God. Samuel. This time Samuel speaks. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." and God speaks to him. A hard message. We're not going to read it all, but if you keep reading, it's a hard message. Samuel, whom the first century Josephus, the historian, says was 12 years old at the time, listens. Reviewing chapters 1 and 2, Samuel was the son of Hannah, a devout woman who went to the tabernacle at Shiloh to weep and pray to God for a child. And let's see if it's... To the tabernacle to weep and pray for God for a child. She made a bargain for God. If you give me a child, I will give him to you to serve you, God, all his life. And Eli thought the weeping woman was drunk. Hannah set him straight. I'm not drunk, sir. I'm praying. And Eli said, may God grant you what you have asked. And a year later, Samuel was born, greatly loved by this family of faith, Hannah and Elkanah, the father. And when he was maybe 3 or 4 years old, young, mom and dad brought him to Shiloh. They worship God. They dedicate Samuel to God and leave him with Eli. Imagine leaving a child like this today. It would be called abandonment, child abuse. A mom and dad with good resources, and we know they do because they brought a whole bull to the temple for sacrifice, not just a small bird as the poor people would. Mom and dad with good resources leave their precious small child in care of a lonely old priest. In our day, that would be suspicious. What were they thinking? But what they were thinking is that they were trusting God to do great things. In their view, they left Samuel in the care of God, not just Eli. And we also talk about the work of God here at Orchard Covenant Church, not just the work of Pastor Nancy. My work is limited and imperfect. God's work is unlimited. Let us dedicate ourselves and our children to God, even if we don't leave them to live in the church anymore in that kind of a way. Hannah praises God then in a strong prayer that sounds like Mary's Magnificat in Luke. She sings, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. She just sings and praises. You might want to read the first 3 chapters of Samuel and catch up on the story. And Samuel, it says, grew up in the presence of the Lord. One translation says, Samuel grew up with God. He also grew up with Eli and his family. And Eli's 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also priests. The law of Moses passed priestly positions down through the tribe of Levi, through the lineage of Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. But those 2 sons were evil. They did not deserve to receive this position in the church. They did not know God or respect God's ways. They cheated the people. They took too much offering from themselves. For themselves, they abused women in the temple. Their father, Eli, warned his sons, but he didn't stop them. Samuel must have witnessed some of this, but his parents' prayers, Eli's protections, and the powerful presence of God kept him pure. In the midst of corruption, we see a little boy ministering before the Lord day by day and every year in a new size of white linen clothing that his mother made for him. A little boy in white, an image of purity in the midst of a mixed up church. And to minister before the Lord is to serve, to wait on God. Samuel served God. He learned the stories of God's people. He learned about the worship practice, how to keep the temple clean and ready. Sounds like he also took care of Eli. He served. He waited on God. And we still use this term, don't we? Waiting. A waiter in a restaurant. Imagine the wait staff standing by your table, alert and ready to be called into service. That's what it is to wait on God. I'm listening, God. I'm hearing. I'm waiting until you tell me the next thing. He learned to serve God, to wait on God. In chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with God and with people." And Luke used those same words 1,000 years later to describe the boy Jesus growing up years, doesn't it? And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people. In verse 1, just to go back a little bit, it says, "In those days the word of God was rare." The word of God was rare, precious, like a rare jewel, something extremely valuable due to lack of supply. They weren't really big on reading the word in those days. They weren't close to scripture. They did what was right in their own eyes and decided that was okay with God, just like many people today, including the priest's own family. Few people spoke the words of life, of faith, forgiveness, steadfast love. Verse 2, Eli's eyes were dim. Yes, he was an old man, but there's a deeper meaning. If the priest has no vision, the people have no vision. And that kind of a sense, the Bible talks about that. And the verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That's a very important word, yet. He knew about God, but he did not yet know God. And it's never too late to start knowing God. And we talk about that in terms of turning to Christ and entering a forever relationship with Christ and with God, and so that we might know Him for ourselves and know His call for our salvation and for our call to serve the world. A two-part call, really, a call to be saved and to know God for eternity, and a call to serve the world. Yet is a word of hope. There's always a possibility, as long as people have breath, that God's treasure, this rare thing, can be found. For Samuel, the precious word came as spoken word. After Samuel learns to say, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." 12 years old, same age as Jesus, when he went to the Jerusalem temple and engaged the scholars and displayed a wisdom beyond his years. Reading further, we learn that God did not speak child's words to Samuel that night. God gave him a grown-up and difficult message regarding the consequences of Eli's evil son's evil behavior. And Samuel was to speak the truth of that evil. He reluctantly but obediently spoke God's message to Eli, whose ability to see or hear God was no longer clear. Eli had a conflict of interest, didn't he? His inability to stop his son's corruption had hurt God's people, damaged their faith tradition. Soon the priesthood would be passed out of Eli's family to Samuel, God's chosen. In our gospel lesson, John the Baptist points to Jesus walking by and says to his disciples, "He's the one we're waiting for, God's chosen." And they greet him. They greet Jesus, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come and see," he invites, and they follow him. And Andrew brings his brother Peter to Jesus, and Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus. And in this story, in the Gospels, we understand that in Jesus, the high priesthood passes from the expected temple lineage to Jesus. And Jesus passes the work of God on to his disciples and to the common people, which is us. His disciples, the church, Samuel, the unexpected, the ones who weren't in the lineage. We call this the priesthood of believers. The priesthood of all believers. That's a term we use in the church and in the Bible. Every follower of Jesus can learn to say, "Speak, Lord, I, your servant, am listening." And then listen and follow God's instruction to participate in God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. How do we listen? I think I'm probably forgetting my pictures, but that's okay. How do we listen? We listen through the precious word, through the ancient scriptures. We read, study, and ask God for ears to hear, wisdom to apply the word of life for this generation. We listen through prayer and silence as the Spirit enables us. We listen to God and to each other. We discern as a people together what we are hearing from God. It's never healthy for one person to say, "This is what I hear, and you have to follow it," if no one else hears that. So there's a corporate listening that keeps us where we need to be as a community and in our faith and where God's plan for us is. We listen with love for God and neighbor, not with hatred. We listen with God's challenge to speak against evil and to work for what is good. God knows my name. He knows your name. So replace Samuel with your name in this story. Mark, June, Marlon, Eka, Jessica, children and adults alive. Our ears perk up. Who's calling? Keep listening. Mike, Dina, Francis. That's my name. Who is it? Keep listening. Gloria, Art, Linda. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Martin Luther King. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak for my people. Speak against racism and injustice. Work for my kingdom come, my kingdom of equal value and respect for all people, on earth as it is in heaven. When Dr. King spoke and said, "I have a dream," and spoke of his dream of freedom and equality for all nations, all Americans, all people, I believe he could have said, "God called my name, and I said, 'Speak, Lord, I'm listening.' And God spoke to me this kingdom vision of equality, a beloved community that embraces all people." And that's why he dedicated his life to this work and gave his life for it. Dr. King listened and obediently spoke hard truths, as Samuel did, and also as we must. My spiritual director says listening prayer is taking time to do nothing with God. Of course, we read and pray over Scripture. We pray our thanksgiving. We pray for needs both close and far away. We journal our thoughts, at least I do sometimes. And then it's good to, instead of just jumping right up and getting busy again, it's good just to waste some time with God. Just be still and wait and listen. Let our mind wander and pay attention to movements in our souls. How do we listen for God? Oh, there was my Martin Luther King picture. How do we listen for God? If we look at this story, we learn about God. Samuel knew the ways of God. He literally grew up in the church. I know many of us, when we give our testimony, we say, "I grew up in the church," and I did, but I didn't sleep there the way Samuel did. But he knew the ways of God even before he knew God. So there's something to be said about helping people to understand God, whether they ever choose him or not, to have some understanding. The second one is sleep, rest, be quiet. This happened after a good sleep, not in the middle of crazy, hyperactive busyness, that he heard the voice. I was thinking about myself. Even now, I have become a person who puts earphones in and listens to books on tape and, you know, audio books while I'm driving and all sorts of things. We're so connected to our phones and stuff, but maybe it's an image of us possibly either unconnecting so that we can hear God, or if it's more helpful to you to think of having your earphones in for God as much as you can, whichever image works for you. You might not understand who's calling the first time, second time, third time, but keep listening. Go back to sleep. Stay quiet. Learn from others. Samuel needed Eli to tell him to speak to God. And so learn from others who might speak into your life about where you are with God or might encourage you and share with others. Say, I keep hearing this message. What in the world is it? Where is that from? Say it to a Christian friend. Maybe they can pray with you and help you figure out how to listen. Tell God you're listening. God knows when we're listening or not, but when we actually say it, it helps us focus. So it's really good for us to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's a way of continuing the conversation. And then listen. Covenant people have always valued a living faith, a living relationship with God. Every person can hear God's call. It's not just for the special ones or something like that. Every person. God's call will often be about making wrong things right in the world. Yes, he does care about our individual continuing struggles. But most often, I believe, he calls his beloved imperfect children because we'll never be perfect. Don't say, well, wait till I get over this problem before I serve God. We'll never be perfect. He calls us all to speak and act against what is hurting God's people, what is hurting our society and the world. What is God calling us to say and do? What is God calling us to speak to? Who is God calling us to speak to? To invite, to meet Jesus? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's you and that's me. Are we listening? Let's pray. Oh Lord, I believe you're calling our name all the time. And we in our crazy world, this culture particularly, more than some other cultures in the world, allow so little time to listen to you, to just sit with your word, let it soak in, to let our minds come up with all the questions that we want to ask and sit with you with our questions, and then listen to what you might say to us about them. Teach us to listen, O Lord. Open our ears to hear and follow. And Lord, help us to, with grace and mercy and kindness, humility and forgiveness, speak truth about evil. Not to become part of the evil ourselves, but to speak truth to it. We pray, Lord, for our country, for our society, for our government, that we would have leaders who recognize what is good and what is not, and act by that. It's hard, and we just ask for your guidance on this, O Lord. For our church as well, Lord, as we come to our annual meeting and our 170th year and all the work we have to do after those events, all the ongoing work of gospel, of caring, of sharing, of feeding, of giving, of worship, of reading your word, let us make time to grow up with you for all our lives, not just our childhood. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.